You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Each week, you'll hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Americans for Truth Hour will help you to stay informed and engaged on the side of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with us as we work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. And now, here's Peter LaBarbera.
Well, welcome back, folks, to the Americans for Truth Hour. We're happy to be doing another show. I'm Pete LaBarbera with Americans for Truth about homosexuality. We are a single-issue organization devoted to opposing and exposing the powerful homosexual activist lobby. We're also here with John Kirkwood, who's the pastor of Grace Gospel Fellowship Church in Bensonville, Illinois, which is right outside O'Hare Airport. And we're very pleased today to be interviewing Bishop E.W. Jackson. Bishop, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Thank you for having me, Peter.
Well, we are excited. You're stirring things up. You've got a video out, which is just it's outstanding. And I happen to see it in John's church, Bishop. Bishop, you have produced. Well, first of all, let's do a little introduction here. You are the founder of STAND, which stands for Staying True to America's National Destiny. You also founded Exodus Faith Ministries based in Chesapeake, where you live. You are happily married for how many years?
42.
All right. 8 more to the big 5-0. And you reside in Chesapeake. You've got 3 children, I believe, Bishop?
Yes, 3 children. Yes.
And you also were brave enough to run for U.S. Senate this last time around in the state of Virginia.
Well, I'll tell you something. I don't know whether some people call it foolish enough. I was answering the call of God to do it, and I have no regrets about it, even though I didn't win. I think we really made an impact on the discussion.
Well, you did, and you know what? I admire anybody who has the courage to run for office, and we need men of God to run for office. And now you got to, did you get third place? You had a little name ID deficiency there with Senator George Allen as your opponent there, Bishop.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was the only one in the race with no political background, never run for public office, never worked for anybody in public office. Everybody else had political experience. So, look, we developed a strong base of people who support us and are encouraging me to run again and got a message out. And, we'll leave the rest in the hands of God as to what happens next.
That's right. That's right. Okay. And I should preface this call by this conversation by saying that Americans for Truth, and we just, by the way, we were reinstated by the IRS. We have 501c3 status again. I'm happy to report. So all gifts to Americans for Truth are again tax deductible. But because we are a 501c3, we are a nonpartisan organization. And anybody who knows me and Americans for Truth knows we do not favor, we are equal opportunity offenders. We criticize Republican immorality and Democratic immorality. In fact, I caught some flack from some people for writing the article I did about Paul Ryan's embrace of or saying that we don't need to overturn the Obama's policy on homosexuals in the military, the new law allowing our military to be homosexualized. I said, that's a bad capitulation to the homosexual lobby that we don't call for the repeal of that while we're calling for the repeal of Obamacare. And I caught some flack for some people who said, hey, don't do that during an election. But that's not how Americans for Truth works. And we certainly believe that, and I know you do, Bishop, God does not say in the Bible homosexuality is a sin except for Republican homosexuality, right?
Well, Peter, I commend you for it because, I think people are tired of playing political games. We need to hold Republicans accountable the same way we hold Democrats or anybody from any party, small or large, hold them accountable for what they say they're going to do and for the things that we believe in. So I'm glad you jumped on them. Somebody needed to jump on, and the military has been decimated by this lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender policy that has now been implemented. And it's an abomination, and it's only going to weaken us militarily, and they need to undo it, and we need to keep the pressure on to let them know that that's what we expect.
Amen, amen. And Bishop, you're talking about holding people accountable. That's what you're doing essentially right now, mainly to the black church. And this is a fascinating thing you've done. Bishop Jackson, and you can find this video, just Google Bishop E.W. Jackson on YouTube. I don't know if that's the best way to Google it, but you have created a video in which you call out black Christians, essentially saying, look, the Democratic Party has embraced immorality, most recently so-called homosexual marriage, and you're calling them out and saying, leave the Democratic Party because it no longer stands for your values. We have a couple clips here. We have a clip from John, is one from the press conference and then one from the actual video on YouTube, which now has over a million hits. Is that right, Bishop?
Yes, it's a fact. It's at 1.1 million hits, and it has just, look, everywhere I go, just like you said, you saw it in church, had somebody call last night and tell a friend, hey, I'm down here in Tennessee and came to church this morning, and guess what they did? They played Bishop Jackson. Wow.
Okay, let's play the two clips we have. The first one is from the video, right, John?
Yes, this is from the video. Here it is.
Okay.
The Democrat Party has equated homosexuality with being black, which is another outrageous lie. They can keep their homosexuality private. You and I cannot hide being black. I need not recount to you the painful history of slavery, Jim Crow, lynchings, and sterilizations, all because of skin color. Anyone who dares equate the so-called gay rights movement to the history of black Americans is exploiting the black community. They say opposition to same-sex marriage is the same as opposition to interracial marriage. That is an insult to human intelligence. It is a lie. No Christian should support this. Yet the Democrat Party has now declared same-sex marriage an official part of its platform. And black Christians remain in that party?
Bishop, that's amazing. And now we have another clip of the press conference, but the video actually is about 3 minutes long, correct, Bishop?
Yes, that video is over 3 minutes long. Yes, it is.
Okay.
Bishop, I just want to say one thing as a fellow preacher. You know, you're in a good team picture here, Bishop, because it's got 1,100,000 views for a reason. I felt like that passage describing Christ in the Gospels when I saw this. No man speaks like this. And now we live in an age where pastors don't speak like that anymore, my friend. And I think that's why people are standing up. I mean, they give you the soft sell. We're so used to the smiling, wants to make you comfortable pastor. But you said some rough truths there, rough truths that kind of bring a sword to a house. I know somebody who lost a couple friends for putting that up on their Facebook wall. Were you prepared for that kind of division when you broadcast that?
You know, John, the Lord saved me in December of 1976, and I'll tell you something. I was powerfully saved as one of those people who I didn't have to try to figure out how to get rid of my old friends. They got rid of me.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want to hear about Jesus anymore.
Yeah.
You know, look, he died on the cross for our sins. And you think about that, and then you think about the fact that so many have died for our freedom in this country, and the inconvenience of having people not like you or disassociate from you or say nasty things about you to me is really minor compared to the awesome price that's been paid for our freedom from sin.
Amen.
Well, I do want to say one thing, Bishop. I just saw your press conference this morning, and I think a lot more people who see this video, the million who've seen it already, will be driven to your other work on YouTube as I was. Now, I saw the full 12-minute press conference, and I actually think as great as your movie was, there's a lot more power in that, too, because you have more time to speak. This is a short clip from the Exodus Now press conference, Bishop E.W. Jackson. Here it is.
When the Democrats made same-sex marriage part of their official platform, they created an irreconcilable conflict between Christians and believing Jews and the Democrat Party. They have now said to us, we demand that you bow to us and not to your God, not to your Bible, not to your faith. And we are here to say we will never bow. We will continue to stand up for what we believe in, for what God has shown us to be true, and we will do it until Jesus comes. Amen. We will do it as long as there is a country called the United States of America in which there is freedom to do it, and we intend to see to it that there's always this nation and that there's always this freedom in which to stand up for what we believe in. We also want to say to ministers and rabbis, it is time to stand up. It is time to take a stand. It is time to have the courage of your convictions and realize if we do not do so, we are going to lose our culture.
Now, I want to ask you a difficult question based on that, Bishop Jackson. Now, here's the thing. If I would have said what you just said and called my black brothers and sisters out of the church, they would have said what they say about people. Why are you saying this now and you didn't say this under Bill Clinton or you didn't say this under Jimmy Carter? And they'd make it sound like I'm a racist for saying it under Barack Obama. I'm going to ask you this question, Bishop. Why did you make this video now?
Well, first of all, let me say, I have been saying this for a long, long time.
Okay.
Look, I came out of the Democrat Party in 1980 because I lived in Massachusetts. Barney Frank was one of the Democrat leaders. The Massachusetts was leading the way along with California, this sort of pro-abortion, hedonistic, godless approach to life. Barney Frank was there trying to reduce the age of sexual consent. And I realized this was incompatible with my Christian faith, so I left. Now, it wasn't a quick decision. I had to pray about it because I alienated a lot of people. In fact, we had people prepared to be godparents for our child, and when they found that we had become Republicans, they withdrew. They said, we don't want to be your friends anymore. So, look, I've been at this for a while, so it didn't surprise me. What surprised me is the power with which this video has taken off. That's what surprised me.
Mm-hmm.
Because we didn't have big PR, some big PR firm and millions of dollars to try to get it out there. We just, did the video. A friend helped us to get it done. We put it out there, and it just kind of took off. So, did I expect it? Yes, I did. But I am in no wise intimidated.
Well, Bishop, we're going to talk about that, about why there's such a reaction to it right now. We're talking to Bishop E.W. Jackson. He's the founder of Stand, Staying True to America's Destiny. I'm Pete LaBarber with Americans for Truth. We got our banquet coming up Saturday, October 27th. We'll be right back with Bishop Jackson after this break. Okay, we're back with Americans for Truth Hour here, and Bishop Jackson, you're talking about how you're surprised at the reaction. It strikes me that, you say, we will never bow, but the reality is that over the years, many, many Christians have bowed to the Democratic Party. Some Christians have bowed to compromise in the Republican Party. What has been, tell us about the reaction of black Christians, especially, to your video. What are you hearing from people? Why has this soared, do you think?
Well, let me just say, because you'd asked me a question, and I wanted to add one more thing about why this timing, because what precipitated this was the fact that the Democrat Party has now made same-sex marriage, which there is no such thing. That is a complete oxymoron, but nevertheless, that's what they call it. They've made that an official part of their platform. Now, that means that all of their candidates, all of their policies will be directed at making this the official law of the land. This is an unprecedented and aggressive step in the direction of secularizing our country and further driving all mention of God, which is in their way, driving all mention of God out of the culture. And I thought, that's a declaration of war. And so now it's time to respond accordingly. So that's kind of what precipitated the video and this call for Christians to come out. Look, I think what's done this is people are hungry for the truth. Mm-hmm. I think God is stirring up the hearts of his people, and they are hungering for the truth. And in many pulpits, sadly, around the country, they're not hearing it. They're certainly not hearing it from most politicians. And I think when people are hungry for the truth and they hear it, it strikes a chord, and it moves them. And I think that's the basic explanation, that God is moved and his people are responding to the truth. And this thing just continues to climb, and all we can do is just sit back and just watch God work, because he's the one who's working. I long for a great awakening in this country. I long to see people in this nation come back to the foundations that made the nation great in the first place. And I long to see Christians put aside all this racial nonsense.
Yeah.
Realize we're all brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're all supposed to be fighting for righteousness. And so, I'm just glad to see it happening, but I think it's a move of God.
Now, Bishop, have you seen black Americans? I mean, was what Obama did a bridge too far? I talked to one guy who was talking to an African American, and by the way, I don't know if you like that term, African American, black. I don't know how that all goes, but he was talking to a black Christian, and the way he put it was, this man did not like Obama. In fact, I think he despised Obama, but he was still going to vote for Obama, and he was sort of hanging his head in shame, saying that he felt he had to vote for Obama. Are you finding that the gay marriage thing was a bridge too far, and finally you're having Christians say, okay, we've done enough here. We have to start reconsidering our options?
Yes, I think that that was a wake-up call. You know, there's a scripture in Hosea chapter 8, verse 4. It says, you set up kings, but not by me. You establish princes, but I do not acknowledge them. And then it goes on later in that passage to say, you have sown the wind, and you reap the whirlwind.
Mm-hmm.
I think people are realizing that supporting the wicked, and that's it, and let's just be clear. Mr. Obama's thinking is wicked. It is twisted. It is confused. You know, he is so avidly, so completely pro-abortion. I know we're not talking about that topic. And mm-hmm. so so completely same-sex marriage and so anti-Bible that he has made statements that anybody listening would say, my goodness. I mean, he said that I don't believe most of the Bible. I don't believe that most of the texts. I mean, I like certain texts. And so he mentioned mm-hmm. he likes certain texts in the Bible.
Yeah, and he discounted Romans 1. Remember that famous thing? And we don't have that clip, but actually, we do have an Obama clip. Can we play that?
Yes.
This
is Obama in front of a Christian-friendly audience. He was being interviewed by Rick Warren, both John McCain.
We're
going
to do a before
Obama.
And after on Obama. We're going to do Obama's pious declaration of supporting marriage to Rick Warren, and then we're going to go to his flip-flop on embracing, celebrating homosexual marriage after.
And here he was asked to define marriage, and here's his answer.
Define marriage. I believe that marriage is the union between a man and a woman. Now, for me as a Christian, it's also a sacred union. Mm-hmm. You know, God's in the mix.
Uh-huh.
Would you support a constitutional amendment with that definition?
No, I would not.
Why not?
And because historically we have not defined marriage in our Constitution. It's been a matter of state law. That has been our tradition. I am not somebody who promotes same-sex marriage.
Okay, boy, isn't it, it's so sad to hear those claps when Obama had said the right thing for the Christians to hear, probably in retrospect, clearly a political move, Bishop.
Oh, he was lying, because he had made statements throughout his political history about homosexuality that made clear to me he didn't mean a word he was saying. He was just, he knew he could not get elected by taking a position in support of same-sex marriage, or at least he thought he couldn't, and so he just took the position that was convenient. But at the same time, the first Human Rights Council dinner, first time a president ever spoken at it, attended it, he stood up and said that all Americans should admire same-sex relationships. Now, he was saying there, he was endorsing same-sex marriage, which is why the homosexual community, when asked, well, then President Obama doesn't support same-sex marriage, they would sort of wink and nod and we know he really does.
Okay, it's the reason they savaged Carrie Prejean when she was asked that question at the beauty contest. But she gave the same answer that the president gave when he was running, asked by Rick Warren. But you're right. There is a wink and a nod. They kind of knew he was for it.
Yeah, and we're not going to play the Obama clips because we'd rather spend time with you. And Bishop, tell me about what are you sensing among black Christians now? I mean, and I want you also to comment on this bogus poll that was released shortly after Obama made his switch, which said, oh, look, we're finding that blacks are now for same-sex marriage. You know, the media, of course, is more behind homosexuality than perhaps any other issue, even abortion, I would think. What's happening in the world of black Christians now that the Democratic Party has so gone over to the side of anti-biblical positions like this?
Oh, it is exciting, Peter and John, really exciting. I was on a black gospel radio program this morning talking to a black pastor, and I was at a black church just a few days ago. I am finding that the support for the position I'm taking is overwhelming. That here again, I don't believe this would have happened 4 years ago or 10 years ago, but it is happening now. I am hearing people say, you know, even people who supported him avidly say, I don't know whether I'm going to be able to vote for him. And I'm hearing some say, I will not, I cannot vote for President Barack Obama again. I just won't do it. It would be an insult to God to do that. So these are words I had not been hearing before. So I am very, now it's anecdotal. I'm very encouraged, though. We've had over 1.1 million viewers of our video, and we know just from the demographics of the country, from the emails that we get, from the comments that we get, that a lot of black folks are saying, in fact, I went to a meeting the other day, and I walked in, there were several black pastors there, and, you know, you would expect that someone would say, oh, here he comes, you know, he's attacking Barack Obama. But, you know, they said, oh, Bishop, thank you. Man, I saw that video. That is great. Thank you. People are starting to realize, you know, we got to be faithful to God. And I just thought, oh, wow.
But, you know, Bishop, you know, also you are, and I haven't emphasized this enough in this interview, you are a pastor, but you are also a conservative leader. And when you get to the point where truly, you know, non-racist conservatives, and most Americans, I believe, now are not racist. And when conservatives can look and they can see Alan West and Thomas Sowell, Walter Williams, some of the greatest conservatives in this country, some of the most thoughtful leaders are black conservatives. So you get to the point where, I mean, there's got to be a point where, you know, this Democratic hold on African Americans starts breaking down, because they cannot say the Republican Party or conservatives is a white dominated thing anymore. How can they say that?
Well, look, and they can. Now you just asked me, and I told you I'm always hit. This is an email that just popped up. It says, name is, and I'll leave his name out because he may not want that published, but he gave me his name. I'm an African American. I pastor a small congregation in Washington, Fort Washington, Maryland. He said, I've watched your video, and I must say I am inspired and reinvigorated by your message and your courage. I often feel alone in my community, and I don't speak out as boldly as I should. However, I am going to preach the truth contained in the Bible and going to count on God to hold me accountable to how I teach, preach, and live out his word. And then he goes on. I mean, I've been getting those kinds of
Man, that must make your day every time you hear one of those.
So it's wonderful. You know, here again, to God be the glory, because God loves this country. I know he loves everybody, but I believe this country is ordained by God. He has not been pleased with the direction we've been going in, and he is calling us back to him, and people are responding. And I'm just grateful for it. And by the way, this does not end. STAND is a nonprofit organization as well. This is not about an election. I've told people this is about saving a generation and saving a nation. So this fight continues long after this election is over, because we've got to redeem this culture.
Oh, and absolutely, Bishop. And we need to also say, to be truthful here, that we will stand for the truth on homosexuality, regardless of who's in power. In fact, I'm already saying, I personally will be voting for Mitt Romney, and I'm getting flack from some people for that, because he is on some of the issue, on the issue I care about and fight about most, homosexuality. Mitt Romney is historically now the first major Republican presidential candidate to be ideologically pro-homosexual. And so I will be fighting him if he becomes president on that point. He came out for homosexuals in the Boy Scouts, which is, I mean, that's unbelievable. But we must stand for truth. And I believe you are right. This is the way back on this issue and in our culture generally. We must stick with the truth. Bishop, 20 seconds till the break here.
Hey, Matt, look, I agree with you on all that you said. So just keep up the good work.
Yes, we're talking to Bishop B.W. Jackson. And folks, I want to also put in a plug in for our banquet. We got Dr. Judith Reisman, the great Dr. Reisman, who's led the exposing of Alfred Kinsey, America's first, quote, sexologist. She's coming Saturday, October 27th. It's a dinner lecture. That's 6:30 in Arlington Heights, Illinois. We'll talk more about that right after the break.
Are you sick and tired of homosexuality and gay marriage being celebrated by the liberal media and popular culture? Do you worry about the radical gay agenda being pushed on young children in schools? Are you worried that the gay movement will destroy America's religious freedoms? And are you offended that Christians are called bigots and homophobes just because they agree with God that homosexual behavior is wrong? Americans for Truth About Homosexuality is a single-issue group devoted to exposing and fighting the gay agenda. They are not about hate, but love for God's truth. They are Christians, so instead of celebrating homosexuality, they lift up the many ex-gays who have left it behind and now lead godly lives through Christ. But Americans for Truth needs your help. The gay lobby has lots of money, power, and media support, but it lacks truth. Please help keep this show on the air and educate America about the dangerous goals of this anti-Christian movement. Make your tax-deductible gift online today at AmericansForTruth.com. That's AmericansForTruth.com.
We're back with Bishop E.W. Jackson. I'm here with John Kirkwood, who's the pastor of a church here out in outside O'Hare Airport in Illinois. Bishop, give a little prediction. You're on the ground in Virginia. What do you think? Are we going to see a peeling away of a significant or a small portion of black voters voting Democrat this time around? What do you think?
No, we absolutely are. And my prediction is a minimum of about 15% peeled away.
Wow.
It may be larger than that. I believe that's going to happen nationwide, the way this is going. Not just what I'm doing, but what people all over the country are doing to call Christians to account. And by the way, you know, I sent out a video to all Christians. It was non-racial. Now, it hasn't gotten the same attention that the video the black Christians has gotten. But that one's circulating, too. So, look. We are seeing God do something, and it's going to show up in this election. But I'll tell you what I'm more concerned about, or just as concerned about, and that is to see a cultural shift in our country as Christians come away from this progressive movement and realize it is a coalition of the godless and start to unite black Christians with white evangelicals. Hate to use those terms, but just to make it plain, and we start coming together for our Lord and for our country.
Bishop, you've mentioned in your work, you've mentioned this unholy alliance by the Democratic Party and Planned Parenthood, and you brought up an interesting point. You said Planned Parenthood has killed millions of black babies and has wreaked much more havoc than the KKK ever did. I don't believe Barack Obama is the first abortion president, but one thing is true. He is the first infanticide president. We're living here in Illinois, and he voted four times, Bishop, against the Infant Born Alive Act, which basically suggests that you put the live baby on a shelf until it expires
well,
by itself.
A botched abortion where the baby comes out alive, they would just let it die, and that bill said no. You treat that like a life. You save that life. Yeah. And did he vote no on all or present on some of those? Or
no, he voted 123 times present when he was here in Illinois. But those are four times that he voted no. He was present and voted no on those. So here's the thing. That's beyond abortion. Yeah. That's infanticide.
My understanding is he not only voted no, but that behind the scenes, he was the prime mover in blocking that legislation.
And he was the only Democrat willing to speak on the open floor against that action, which is quite interesting. Now, a brother in Christ and a friend of ours, Pastor Ken Hutcherson, has said, don't compare your sin to my skin. Do you feel, Bishop Jackson, that the homosexuality issue is even taking this to another notch beyond even the Planned Parenthood and abortion issue?
I think it is, because it is such an insult to Americans. And you're right, I'm not offended by African American, but I'm trying to unify people, and I've been trying to say Americans of African descent, because we're all Americans. We're Christians, and then we're Americans first. And then we're of people of different descent, and that's fine. And we can celebrate our cultural diversity, but we need to unify as Americans. But yes, I'm sorry. What was the question?
Let me add to the question. Yeah. It's about homosexuality and being compared to race. And I got to say, Bishop, it's a God thing here. We are interviewing you on Thursday, October 11th, which the homosexual activists call National Coming Out Day, to celebrate people coming out as homosexuals. And you know, look at the difference. Nobody has a black person, a white person. You don't come out. Your skin color is who you are from day one. Homosexuality, proud homosexuality, has to declare itself, has to make itself known, because it's all about behavior.
Well, sure. And I was going to say, I think most black people that I've ever met or talked to, except for those on the far left, and who are just sort of the political activists or those who are homosexual themselves, they are insulted by that association because they understand that the experiences in this country are so vastly different, you can't even, you can't logically make any comparison. So it's emotional manipulation. I mean, for example, I'm sure you guys know this better than I do and better than most of the people in this country, but the homosexual community per capita income has a higher per capita income than the average American does. There's no indication of some sort of discrimination against people because, as you pointed out, we don't even know who they are, and nobody really cares in the sense that we're not trying to investigate people's private lives to find out what they're up to. It's only when they put it in your face and say, this is good and this is right, and we expect you to approve it and we expect you to amen it, that's when the issue becomes a matter of conflict. As Kai Feldblum said, who I'm sure you all know is the EEOC director for Barack Obama for the federal government, said that there is a conflict between sexual liberty and the First Amendment, and sexual liberty must win, and she's an active homosexual.
Yeah, and this is, of course, they always redefine terms. Their idea of sexual liberty is rights based on homosexuality and even other sexualities. So it's unbelievable. But, you know, you're talking about morality versus skin color, and skin color is not a moral issue. Now, Bishop, America has sins in its past, and we are, I think in some way with Obama, we're paying for those sins because in there is a sense, I think, where if he were white, I think he'd be much more ridiculed and sort of opposed than he is. I think a lot of people, they are happy, and I was happy that America was a country that could elect a black man president. To me, that was a sign that we had overcome a lot of this sin of racism. But then now we have Obama, who is really very far left.
Well, if he were white with the associations that he's had, I don't believe he would have gotten elected. I think that the American people would have said, no, this guy is potentially too dangerous to put in the power of the presidency. With his association with Bill Ayers, with Jeremiah Wright, his association, you know, growing up with a lot of communists and having, you know, this apparently very close relationship with Islam. And I don't think anybody fully knows just how close that relationship is yet. I think he downplays it. But clearly he grew up in a Muslim country. He knows the Quran. And so he seems to have a lot of sympathy for even radical Islam, unwilling to call it terrorism, unwilling to deal with it. So I think had he been white, I think people would have said, no, we can't trust this guy. But a lot of people that I talked to said, well, you know, it's just time. And I said, time for what? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, it's just time for a black person to be president. Well, maybe, but not this one.
Yes.
Well, let me go back to what I asked you sort of before. Now, what about the people who are still pro-Obama? What are they telling you? Just let's say some of the black people you're interacting with, are you getting the Uncle Tom charge? Are some people saying, hey, I see a lot of what you're saying, but I got to vote for Obama? Tell us about some of those conversations.
Well, of course, I get the personal attacks. You know, some people have said, you know, Bishop Jackson's been able to do all this because he's backed by a super PAC and people put money. And I'm thinking, boy, this super PAC is so secret that not even I know about it.
So, if only it were true, right? In fact, we need to get a super PAC behind you, Bishop. I mean, that could be some serious damage in this.
Yeah, the super PAC you've got behind you is the body of Christ right now. But I don't know that that's...
What about the pro Obama? Are these people feeling guilty for voting? I mean, what are you hearing?
Here is what I hear. This is the justification I come up with. There were really two that I hear, and these are the people who at least nominally call themselves Christians. One is, well, he doesn't really believe that. He doesn't really believe that. He's just doing what he needs to do to be political, to keep his support in place, and so he can do the good things he wants to do. So that's one justification. In other words, justify the wickedness of the wicked.
So you're standing there and you're saying, wait a minute, the emperor has no clothes, and they're saying, well, how come you don't see it? It's such a nice silk garment.
Wait a minute, I want to hear the other reason too.
Yeah.
The other reason is there's nothing we can do about the homosexuality. There's nothing we can do about abortion. We shouldn't be concerned about that because there's really nothing we can do about it, and we ought to be concerned about the other issues. That's the other thing. You know, there are other. I've heard preachers. In fact, they put some opposing videos on YouTube, and the main argument is, well, you know, what Bishop Jackson says about abortion and homosexuality may be true, but we have other issues that we have to deal with.
What do you say to that?
Oh, my God. Well, first of all, if you don't get the life issue right,
yes.
I don't know why I should trust you with anything else.
Right.
And that if you're going to be in rebellion against God, the Bible says rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. And you're going to be in rebellion against God on his definition of the family, but yet you want me to entrust you with power to represent me in the highest office of the land? No, thank you.
Yeah, Bishop, in your press conference, you called out, it seemed as if you were making a plea to the people of the book. You said Christians and Jews, and of course, he started a war with the Catholic bishops and so forth. And so my question to you is, what you just described to me, the individual who's just going along to get along and is still going to pull the lever for Obama, is somebody that seems to be further from the book, right? That maybe doesn't take God's word at a higher level, doesn't esteem it. Like, so are you saying that it's much easier to approach somebody, even somebody of African descent, an American of African descent, that heeds the word of God and holds it with esteem?
And John and Peter, somebody who acknowledges and adheres to and believes in the word of God. And don't get me wrong, you know, I tell people all the time when they criticize our founding fathers, I say, well, you know, when you can come to me and say you 100% live up to every ideal that you have and everything the word says, I said, then you can criticize them because no human being does. So we understand that. But you know, the reality is that we have got to understand where we are as a country and what we need to do in order to make sure that the favor of God remains on this nation. If we don't do that, then we're going to lose everything. And so the people who really know Jesus, in my view, know Jesus, you know, and love him and are grateful to him and want to honor him and want to serve him and want to be obedient to him and want him to be pleased with them, those people we're reaching.
Amen. Amen, Bishop. Okay, we got one more segment with Bishop E.W. Jackson. We're excited about his video about coming out of the Democratic Party, the message to black Christians. We'll be right back after the break. Welcome back, folks. We're in our fourth and final segment with Bishop E.W. Jackson from the group Stand. He's the founder of Stand, which is Staying True to America's Destiny. He's also the founder of Exodus Faith Ministries. And Bishop, I want to talk about God, leaving God behind. We just saw a poll. I think it was a Pew poll. Is it Pew? Which said that 30% now of Americans associate with organized religion. Do you think that's accurate, and is that the downfall of this country if that trend continues?
Well, it may be accurate. In fact, it may be a little bit optimistic. You know, there are a lot of people who claim to be Christians but have very, very modest, at best, association with the church. They go to church on Christmas or Easter, that sort of thing. And yes, I think it's a telling point because in Europe, for example, in France, I think about 12% of the people go to church. And, of course, France has become a completely secularized nation where anything goes, morality doesn't matter. People are not getting married. They don't feel that there's a need for marriage. They can just live together and have children. And all of the standards that God gave us have just been thrown out the window. And when that happens in America, if that should be allowed to happen in America, and of course you and I are fighting to make sure that doesn't happen, but if it does, and the favor of God is ever lifted off this country, we will see a precipitous decline, and we will no longer be the greatest nation in the world. Now that's, and I think that is a very, very dangerous possibility that we must avoid at all costs, because we're in a dangerous world, and America has been a force for good and decency. We haven't been a perfect country, of course, but we've been a force for good and decency throughout the world. And I would hate to see what the world would look like if America were no longer preeminent.
Bishop, I was asked a question once. Can you say anything nice about President Obama or something you're thankful for? And the first thing that came to my mind is I'm thankful that he organized my community. He has lit a fire under Christians and the whole Tea Party movement and so forth. Do you feel that this is a new great awakening, driving people to back to the faith and to take God's word more seriously?
You know, I was at a meeting last night. It was the first time I'd ever put it this way, and I just think it was an inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But I told people, I said, you know, I think we needed this. I think we needed this because we had become lethargic and complacent, and we began to take freedom for granted and take this country for granted and just assume that all that we have would always remain. And now we have had a wake-up call. And yes, I think that there is an awakening that is taking place. I am praying that it is the beginning of a great awakening, a third great awakening in America. But something is happening. I sense it and feel it. There is a move of the Holy Spirit going on, and I'll tell you something. I'm excited about it because, look, when I ran for office, you know, there's a lot of discussion about the economy, a lot of discussion about spending, and those things are critically important, and I do not in any way minimize them. But what I was telling people is this. If you don't get the foundation right, nothing else works.
Mm-hmm.
That means if we don't have God at the center of our lives in this country, as our founding fathers said, religion and morality, by which they meant, by the way, Christianity and biblical morality, if those are not the foundation of this country, then we will not succeed as a constitutional republic.
And so a great awakening really puts the Tea Party in the dust, because a real great awakening, you know, sometimes we hear the Tea Party, oh, you know, there are some in the Tea Party who are more libertarian. They don't want to talk about those moral issues. But you're saying that the moral issues are really preeminent in our mind. They should be, because these are this is God, the outworking of God's values in our society, people who share God's values.
And look, this God established this nation. I don't believe that America is an accident of human history or an evolutionary happenstance. I believe that God ordained those men we call our founding fathers who signed the Declaration and signed the Constitution, and he called George Washington, and he used men like Thomas Jefferson and John Adams and James Madison in order to give us this nation. And it's now in our hands. And I believe he's looking primarily to his people to see what we are going to do as stewards of the greatest nation mankind has ever known. And if our response is, as the Democrat Party tried to do, let's kick God out. Let's get rid of God. We don't want God mentioned. We don't want the name of Jesus mentioned because it offends people. Well, I'll tell you what, we better be more concerned about offending God than we are offending people.
Well, on that point, give us a warning, or what would be your warning to the many now in the Republican Party who are saying, look, put the social issues to the shelf. Let's not talk about those. Or worse, let's actually, there are some people saying, hey, let's embrace homosexual marriage as a way to get that vote into the Republican Party. Here, the Republican Party wants to reach out to minorities who seem to have the strongest moral position on this issue, and yet others are saying, kick the social issues to the curb.
If the Republican Party ever does that, then it will collapse because the evangelicals will leave, and their hope of winning black Christians and Hispanic Christians will be gone because the economic issues are not going to be enough to overcome all of the indoctrination about the racism of Republicans and conservatives. The Republican Party would be sounding its own death knell if it does that. Who's going to keep the Republican Party going? The Log Cabin Republican Club?
With its 20,000 members across the country, oh boy, I think that's going to put Republicans over the top, the homosexuals. But how strong do you think that movement is in the Republican Party? You're more you have greater interactions with some people, VIPs and Republicans, than we do. What's your sense of where we are in that strategic battle?
Well, I think that there's some elites in the Republican Party who just think that these issues are messy and divisive and would prefer not to deal with them. Of them probably agree with us, But I'll tell you what, the passion is not on their side. The passion is on the side of believers. And I mean, if people want to know, what did you get out of running? I said, one thing I got out of running was encouragement that there are believers out there who are active, that are engaged. They love God. They love this country. And they're not going to let this country go down or turn its back on God without a fight. So I think anybody who thinks that they're going to drive God out of the Republican Party or keep the social issues out of the Republican Party, they might as well tender their resignation, because they're going to be the ones who end up getting driven out. Because if the Republican Party ever turned its back on God, then just like I left the Democrat Party, mm-hmm. it's the Republican Party.
Yes, mm-hmm. absolutely.
One of the ironic things about the president's answer that we played just a few minutes ago, whether he'd support a constitutional amendment for tradition or biblical marriage, and he said no, because historically we haven't had one in the Constitution, and I'd leave it up to the states. Well, that was, I guess you could say, that was consistent with what the Democrat answer was about slavery. Not a very moral purpose. And then, of course, he said that his position on same-sex marriage evolved because he talked to his 11-year-old daughter. Bishop, are we to take our moral instruction from our children?
Well, you know what? That, to me, that's just, frankly, Obama the con man. I mean, come on.
Yeah, right.
That's here again. That's the emotional appeal. That's to make it emotionally palatable. It doesn't matter whether it's spiritually or biblically or morally right. Let's make it emotionally palatable. Remember, this is the man who said that if his daughters got pregnant, he didn't want them punished. Baby.
Yeah.
I mean, so I have learned to ignore anything that he says if you're searching for truth.
Well, let me ask you a little bit more of a challenging question then, Bishop.
Let me say one thing, though. I do want to underscore one thing. We must have a constitutional amendment to define marriage as a union between one man and one woman, because if we don't have that, I think we're going to lose this battle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll have a hodgepodge. We already see, some states it's legal and other states it's not. Then you have the lawsuits. It's just the family law, the courts. There must be one standard. And, of course, the standard is what it really is.
Absolutely. So let me just go on record that I do not agree with President Obama. Or much of anything else.
Well, mm-hmm. Bishop, I want to ask you, I'm going to point out something really quick here, too, which many people don't know, is that when you look at the CDC statistics, Centers for Disease Control and Homosexuality, they're pointing to a rise in HIV infections. Guess what the fastest group is? Young black men. And so what's not being talked about, in fact, let me read this really quick and get your reaction. We've only got a couple minutes left. Among men who have sex with men, black African-American men who have sex with men accounted for 37% of new HIV infections in 2009, whereas new HIV infections were relatively stable among basically homosexual men who are white, quote, they increased 34% among young men who have sex with men, but an increase largely due to the 48% increase among young black men who have sex with men ages 13 to 29. That was in 2009. Bishop, the issue of homosexuality cuts right to the black community.
Of course it does. And here again, some of the traditional black leadership doesn't want to touch these subjects because they are in league with people who support homosexuality, support abortion, support a whole host of ungodly issues. We've got to educate people and make them realize you cannot, look, I just quoted it earlier, you sow the wind, you reap the whirlwind. You know, God doesn't tell us not to do things because he doesn't want us to have fun. He tells us not to do things because he doesn't want us to die. The right. Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So God gave us moral rules for our good. To help us live better lives. And we've got to get that message across to people. That's why it just incenses me when they say, oh, well, you're haters. We don't hate anybody.
Right.
We don't hate any. We disagree with them. We don't hate them. We love them. We pray for them. But truth is truth. Right is right. And we've got to stand up, because what they're doing, what they're promoting, is killing people. And you're right, it's killing black men by the thousands.
And I think, and if the media cared more, if people actually cared more about these people, they would actually associate the behavior with the problem. But it's like the elephant in the room, Bishop. It's the one thing you can't talk about. I mean, we see African-American, young African-American men contracting HIV at astonishing rates, and yet it's not talked about at all as a problem of homosexual behavior. That's the astonishing thing.
Because if you talk about it, you'll be accused of being a racist just for bringing it up, which is so stupid. You know, I was going to say, you know, liberalism and their ideas have done more to kill black folks whom they claim so much to love than the Ku Klux Klan and lynchings and slavery and Jim Crow ever did. Now, that's a fact.
Well, we're gonna end it on that amazing statement, Bishop. We've got you next week. We're excited about our second interview with Bishop E.W. Jackson. Thank you so much for sitting down with us. God bless you. We direct people to your video about coming out of the Democratic Party. You can find it on YouTube. Bishop, what is your website?
It's standamerica.us. Standamerica.us, just like it sounds.
Okay, we will talk to you next week, and thank you so much, Bishop. God bless you.
God bless you, too.
All right. Thanks, you folks. And we'll be back next week with Bishop E.W. Jackson. And we're with Americans for Truth. God bless. You've been listening to the Americans for Truth Hour with Pete LaBarbera and John Kirkwood. All our interviews are available archived at AmericansForTruth.org. That's AmericansForTruth.org. Also, don't forget our banquet coming up Saturday, October 27th at Christian Liberty Academy in Arlington Heights, Illinois, featuring Dr. Judith Reisman. That's Saturday, October 27th. Please return to our website, make a donation, AmericansForTruth.org. There's a donate button. Donate to our cause. Help us to continue with these interviews. And thanks for listening. God bless.